Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, the podcast for accomplished Black women ready to stop surviving and start thriving. I'm your host, Natasha Riley, licensed therapist and founder of Javer Integrative Wellness Services. This is where we move beyond talking about change to actually creating it. Every episode gives you practical tools to build a daily pleasure practice because you've already proven you can achieve anything. Now it's time to learn how to enjoy it. Ready to bridge the gap between knowing and doing? Let's dive in. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I am your host, Natasha Riley, a licensed professional counselor that is all about supporting high-achieving Black women with self-care, pleasure, and rest. I am super excited for today's episode, but before we get there, you know, I have to thank you. Thank you to my OGs for continuing to watch. Thank you to the new listeners because the downloads are running up, y'all. They are running up and I'm super excited because I have put a lot of time into this podcast. So if you are new here, there are over 100 episodes of helping you be able to integrate pleasure, rest, and self-care in your day-to-day life. And they're foundational things. They're things that you can do for free. So go listen to those episodes, okay? Now, this episode, we have a guest. And I'm going to tell you a funny story because this is on video. And I, listen, when someone gives me nuggets, when someone gives me gems, I take them. So after recording with this guest, I went to go look at the video and edit, and I was like, oh, you can see the vast difference in, oh, she's professional, and I just be playing, right? Her video is so crisp, clear. When I was looking at it to edit it, I said, it's almost like I could reach out and touch her. So I messaged her and I said, what camera did you use? And she told me, and you ain't got to tell me but one time, because I knew this was all going to be on video and I knew I was going to have to do an intro. I for sure went and got the video. So if you are listening, head over to our YouTube page so you can see this crisp, clear camera. And I'm going to drop her Amazon storefront where the camera is in the show notes and in the description for YouTube so that you can get you one. Because if you are like me and you thought you were doing it, We weren't doing it. So go ahead and grab you one of these because maybe it is crystal clear. But before I introduce our guest today, I do want to remind you that we have this 7-day self-care reset that is completely free. 7 days of you learning how to prioritize self-care in the most foundational way. I know you go out here and you look at these messages and they're talking about bubble baths and going on vacations and going brunching and journaling and this, that, and the other, but sometimes you need to know where to start. Sometimes that's not where you start. You need to start where you are. And so every day for 7 days, I am giving you the foundational steps to implement self-care into your day-to-day because you deserve to take care of yourself. Now, our guest today is someone that I have been watching on YouTube for the last year. Her video came across my feed and I was hooked. I was hooked on her journey. I was hooked on how she gonna figure this out. I was hooked on how she's so transparent about her numbers and how she's navigating life. And as someone that is just dead set on prioritizing my self-care, my pleasure, and my rest, helping my clients, helping my team, I was just wrapped in awe of how she continued to create moments for that despite the hardships that she was going through. So let me introduce you to Simone Austin. Simone Austin is the personal finance influencer behind Life and Numbers, the online community where she breaks down money, work, and financial decision making using real life examples and real numbers. She shares transparent insights into income streams, debt payoff, career transitions, and the behind-the-scenes economics of content creation. Simone's work helps people navigate nonlinear careers, finances, and side hustles with clarity and intention. I hope that you enjoy this interview as much as I enjoyed speaking with Simone. I have dropped all of the links in the show notes and the YouTube description so that you can see the pivotal moment in her life that led to her coming into my life and some of the other areas that we've been talking about. So enjoy. So first, Simone, I want to thank you for coming to the podcast. This is an exciting
conversation because, like I was saying before we started recording, I watched you step into your pleasure in the last couple of months, and that has been exciting to see. So I want to start with who you were before things went down with your job. So I know you've been doing YouTube and you've been working a 9-to-5 and you've been showing your journey, but who were you and what were you trying to achieve before that day?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I thought about that before. Let's see. Before everything happened, I felt more typical, just, I feel like I went through the steps that I was supposed to in life, graduated high school, graduated from college, got my master's, started working. I was just kind of working through the corporate ladder, I guess, just kind of my way through everything. So I was working as a UX content designer, and I'd been in the UX space for 8 years at the time. So I was working in tech and everything seemed normal and good. I knew that a bunch of layoffs were happening, and they'd been happening for over a year at that time. So I was scared of that happening, just hoping that it wouldn't happen to me. And then one day it did happen to me.
Yeah. And so what were you doing with YouTube? What was the goal of that? Because you've been doing YouTube for a really long time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with YouTube, I started that in July of 2015. And I really just started because I was bored and I wanted a creative outlet, because in college I was an art student. And then once I graduated, I didn't have that creative outlet anymore. So when I first started, I was just playing around and just making videos whenever I wanted to. And it took me 5 years before I ever got monetized. And when I did get monetized, I was making $200 a month on average in that range. And it wasn't until November of 2024 that I started thinking I wonder if I could ever scale this. And I tried to be more consistent at that point. So trying to make sure that I put out a video every week. But yeah, I think the goal was, but the YouTube channel was still having fun. I talked about money, so I wanted to document my personal finances and hopefully teach other people things about personal finance. So having fun, learning for myself, teaching other people, and hopefully just making it a side hustle. That's really where I was at before I got laid off.
Okay. And most of your videos, like you said, are about finance. What is it about finance that is so interesting to you and made you want to share your story?
Yeah, everyone deals with money. So money is a very taboo thing and people don't like talking about it. And yet literally everybody has to deal with it.
Right.
And it's not something that you're taught in school and you just if you figure it out, you figure it out type thing later in life. And I don't know. I just feel there's a lot of power in talking about it, because the more you talk about it, the more you're learning, the more you can grow within your own personal finances. And yeah, it's always been interesting to me, because money is also very psychological, and I do with my money makes sense to me, but it may not make sense to other people and vice versa. So I've always liked thinking of it from the psychology standpoint too.
Okay. So what do you feel like your relationship was with your followers prior to this very vulnerable video? Your videos have been vulnerable, but that's that's behind the curtain. So what was the relationship with the subscribers before?
I think before that video came out that went viral, I had around 10,000 subscribers, I think. But I would say, because it took me so long to get those subscribers, that not all of them were active. So I wouldn't say that I had a super engaged community before that. I had been documenting other things, when I got my first house, or not my first house, this house. So.
It's the vegan house, the only house.
But when I got my house, I documented that journey. So people were supportive, the people who saw those videos. But I didn't get a lot of traction on my videos, really, before I went viral. So I would say I had a very small community and they were still supportive, but it was just in small numbers compared to what it is now, which I'm really grateful for, because there's a lot of people who watch every video, watch every single one and leave comments every single time. So it's been really cool to see like the growth over the past year and some change.
Yes. Now let's talk about the infamous video. I will make sure to link it so that if no one has seen it, because that's what brought me to you. Like that was suggested to me. And I was like, what is she crying about? Like, what is going on? So I went and I watched it and I felt all the feels with you. So what made you record getting laid off?
Before I had that meeting that's shown in the video, I got an email like an hour before that said, clear your schedule, attend this meeting. And it was from someone who I don't talk to a lot, or I didn't talk to a lot. Like they were higher up. And I was like, oh, this isn't good.
Hey, I've never heard of you. I don't know who you are. Something's going down.
And I was like pinging other people on my team, like, hey, did you get this call or this email? And like, I was wondering if it was going to be like a group call. And some people said that they did get it, but they were going to have it at a different time. And I was like, oh, this is a bad sign. So I wanted like the security for me, because if they were going to lay me off, I wanted to make sure that I documented everything that they were telling me to make sure that like they didn't change things afterwards. Like if they said that I would get certain like things in my severance, like making sure that they didn't change that. And then also I have this YouTube channel and I document like my personal finances, and I had just started a challenge that was like a no buy challenge on my channel, and my intention was to not buy things throughout 2025 so that I could pay off my credit card debt. And I knew that this was going to affect that challenge. So I recorded it. I didn't know how I was going to use it for the YouTube channel. I didn't know if I was just going to use it like as B-roll. But once the meeting started and afterwards, when I was talking everything out and like ended up crying, I was like, this is a really like powerful thing. And I know that other people are going through it right now too. So I sat on it for like 3 weeks because I was very nervous to post it. One, it's embarrassing, or I felt embarrassed. And also just, I didn't know what would happen after sharing it with people. And like I said, I had a smaller audience then. So I was expecting like my subscribers to see it, but it like exploded. It was just like overnight, just like hundreds of thousands of people saw it, and it spiraled and has like over 700,000 views now. So
it got winning that video, like to go through those, to sit in it, still process it, then edit it, because you edit all your videos. So how was that process of reliving that? And then it lives, right? Like you will always relive that moment, not just internally, but like externally, you can go and relive that moment.
I don't relive it. So it was very hard. It was very hard editing it. I don't like seeing myself cry, and like it was very cringy, and then having to relive it like while I was editing it. So I edited it for YouTube, and I edited it for short form. And since then I have not watched it. I don't go back and look at it because I don't want to be reminded of it. And a lot of people have said like, oh, you should do like a reaction video to it. And maybe that would get views. I don't know. But I don't want to relive it. I don't want to watch it. So maybe at some point in the future, I'll feel differently and want to do a reaction video to it. But as for now, I don't like thinking about that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things like with my clients and in my practice, because we support high achieving Black women that, like you said, did all the things and slowly life started to unravel, and all the things that they were told to do, it didn't go the way that they thought. So how was the grief for you to sit in the fact that I did everything I was supposed to do? I checked all the boxes. I had the job. Like I did it. And this was the outcome.
It was hard. Like I said, it was embarrassing, but it also felt like I let people down. Like it felt like I let my parents down. Like I felt like they would be disappointed, or like other people in my family. So it was hard to deal with everything because it was a lot of emotions happening at once, because it was like letting go of this thing that I used to have. And then also navigating like the very real concerns of like, how am I paying for everything? I just bought my house a few months before getting laid off. So having to deal with that and just having to go into like survival mode pretty quickly. I think I gave myself like the weekend after being laid off. Like I gave myself the weekend to kind of like feel all the feelings. And then after that, that's when I started looking for a job that I never found.
Right.
Which for America, I had to create my own job. But yeah, it was a very hard year. There was a lot of moments of being really like sad and down on myself, honestly. There's a lot of like anxiety around things. Yeah, it was a hard year. And it wasn't until like the end of 2025 that I started to kind of realize that I was okay, and I had been okay since everything happened, even though like I was freaking out. Everything was still paid for. Like I still had food. I still had my house. I was healthy. I still had my relationships with my friends and family. Like I realized that I was internalizing a lot of things, and it took the better part of a year for me to realize that I'm okay and maybe I should start doing something else. Like maybe I should pivot.
Right. Now, you know, my therapy ears perk up when you say that you thought that you were letting people down based off of something that you could not control. Let's unpack that. What was that about?
I think that I've always been like the one, because I have siblings. So I think I've been, out of my siblings, the one that they didn't have to worry about the most. Like I've always been like a straight A student. I was always like quiet in school, so I didn't get in trouble, like that type of thing. And so, like I mentioned earlier, I felt like I kind of checked every box in life. And so this was like the first time like, oh, something went wrong. So even though it's like I didn't cause it, it still felt like, oh, this is my fault type thing. Like when I internalized it, I guess I'm still feeling like I did something wrong.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't my fault.
Yeah. How was allowing support during that time? So not just like being able to take support from your family and your friends, but you also doubled down on your YouTube page and you had to buy me a coffee and you started doing the digital things and like selling. How was it to be vulnerable and ask for help?
It was hard. It was a lot of hard things last year, but yeah, I have always struggled with asking for help. I don't like being like a burden to anyone. So it's always been hard for me to ask for help. But like you said, I had to learn how to do that with friends and family. I ended up asking like one of my friends to live with me, and I have a roommate that helps financially. And with like online, like the buy me a coffee, that's not something that I had ever done before. I think it took like 3 months or something, like 2 or 3 months before I considered doing that. I didn't know like what would happen, but it showed that there's actually a lot of like generous people. And I feel like online there's a lot of negativity and that gets a lot of attention, but behind that there's still a lot of like positivity at the same time too, and a lot of generous people who showed a lot of support. And even with like me explaining like, hey, if you don't do buy me a coffee, that's okay. Just watching the videos is also helping me and helping the channel perform. People would do that. Like people would just play my videos in the background while they're doing
something. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and they'd say like, I'm watching every ad, like that type of thing. So I guess last year kind of like reframed some things in my brain. Like it's okay to ask for help, and it's not like you're begging. It's not and with like selling things online, like changing the way I think about that, like that's not being like a cringy salesperson either. Like it's you created something that hopefully you're proud of, and it's out there and it's available to other people and it's helping them, and then we can exchange the like whatever you're offering to people, you get money for it. But it's not like you're like begging. It's kind of like an exchange system in a way. So just trying to like reframe things to show me that it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah, I'm about 6 years in and I still struggle with that. Going out there and like, hey, buy this thing. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like the transition from, because you didn't necessarily have a choice to build your business and do the things that you were doing, like most of the Black women who are entrepreneurs, not by choice. How do you feel the transition was working from corporate to working for yourself? Because I know I struggled because I was working for myself for like 5 years. I was trying to work 40 hours a week. I was like trying to give myself a lunch. Like I was trying to do it the way they did it. And one day it really took somebody saying, you know, 2 hours is enough. Like if you do all your work in 2 hours, that's absolutely fine. And I feel like that was a game changer and blew my mind. So how was the transition for you?
I feel like I'm still trying to figure it out. I feel like I have been doing like way more than 40. I don't count it, but it at a certain point I was working like every single day. And it was until like 2 weeks ago that I finally started implementing like a new system where I don't work on the weekends. So the past 2 weekends, I've just been like existing and it's been really nice. But it's very different. I think it's easier to kind of, because you're, in my case, like I was more passionate about what I'm doing now. Yeah. So it's harder to like set limits. So it's easier to like overwork yourself. So I'm trying to not do that. But then also, I think there's like a beauty in it where I'm not a morning person, but I had to be one like in corporate. So now it's like, it's okay if my day starts at 10 o'clock because no one's going to do anything about it. Right. So yeah, like even like doing meetings in the afternoon, because I'm not a morning person. Even if I'm up, I don't like talk in the morning. So I can kind of like design my day how I want it to be. So there's that upside, but then it also takes a lot of discipline too, because there's no one checking to see like if you're doing your work, and if you're not doing your work, then your business is going to suffer. So yeah, I think there's definitely differences to it. And it's kind of, I guess you kind of get into your own swing of things over time. Mm. So you've been doing it longer than I have, but I'm still trying to figure out what flow to be.
Listen, I need to be real with you for a second. You're here listening to this episode. Maybe you're nodding along, you're feeling seen. And girl, that's beautiful. But if you're like most of my listeners, you're going to finish this episode, you're going to feel all inspired for about 10 minutes and then go right back to your regular life where you're still putting everyone first. I get it. I've been there. But here's what I've learned. The gap between knowing what you need to do and actually doing it is where transformation lives. Now, if you're tired of just consuming content about self-care and you're ready to start practicing it, not tomorrow, not next week, but starting today, I created something specifically for you. It's called the 7-Day Self-Care Reset, and it's exactly what it sounds like. 7 days of simple, actionable steps that help you move from thinking about prioritizing yourself to actually doing it. No overwhelm, no complicated systems, just practical tools that work with your real life. You'll get permission to put yourself first, learn to recognize those inherited patterns that keep you stuck, and discover what your authentic desires actually are underneath all the expectations. This isn't about adding more to your plate. I'm not going to do that to you. It's about finally honoring what's already on it, starting with you. Ready to stop listening and start living? Visit javerywellness.com/reset. That's R-E-S-E-T. And let's do this work together. Because the woman who just listens and the woman who actually takes action, they live completely different lives. Now, back to the episode.
Still trying to figure it out because now I have a team. So it's like, okay, there's a whole lot more responsibility and it's not just me. Because if I love that, right, it's me. But, you know, overseeing people, and I did end up going back to work. So now I have a 9-to-5 and I have a business and I have a family and I'm still trying to have a life. So it becomes a lot.
It's a lot to manage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has self-care been for you? I know one of the things that you made sure to do was you still went on trips. You still did homecoming. Like, you still made sure to have a good time despite the fear and the unknown of not having the job for the year.
I say that, like, every chance of happiness that was presented to me, I took. It's like, if the times when, like, I wasn't happy, it would just be me surrounded by, like, my own thoughts. And I was like, nope, I have to, like, anytime I can be happy, I'm going to take it. So, yeah, I still went to, I'm a proud graduate from North Carolina A&T. So I went to GEHO. My friends, I have really great friends. They would let me tag along with their trip where they went throughout the year. I saw Hamilton when Leslie Odom Jr. was back as Aaron Burr. So I still took any chance to do something fun, because I think that that's important. Like, another thing I didn't give up, I still worked out. So I went Pilates. So I kept that going as long as I could. And then when it was like a started being like a financial burden, like, someone helped me out with that.
Right. Someone took care of that for you.
Yeah. So things that were important for me, things that gave me like a break during the day where I didn't have to think about what was going on with my life, I took it. So I think everybody should, if you can and when you can, like, work out or work in room to do something that will bring you some joy.
How was the process of putting that out there and the comments of people like, why would you do that? Because then you go to, was it New Zealand?
Yeah.
Where you went, like, I did do a lot of things. And they're like, being a creator, right? Like, you're engaging with your audience and you're like, well, what do you all think? And then they start giving the comments and you're looking at the comments and they're like, why would you do that? You should be doing this. You should be doing that. So how did you filter between, because you don't know what's right and wrong. Like, right and wrong is very subjective for your particular life. So how were you able to, like, push out the noise to do what was right for you, despite being terrified and of the unknown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, with New Zealand, that trip was already paid for before I got laid off. So
it's happening.
Yeah. The money was spent and I just made sure I had a strict budget for when I went out there. But yeah, people were mad that I went on a New Zealand trip. Yeah. But I guess to answer your question, like, I know my life and I know what I know, like, all the details, because I share a lot of things, but I'm the only person who knows, like, everything that's going on. So I make educated decisions on what I can do financially and what I can't do financially. And then also, like, I knew that trip would be a good reset for me. It would be a good break from just the reality. I was in a completely different location, like the other side of the world. And it was just a nice escape from everything that I was going through. And I knew that I still needed to go, like, for my own benefit. So, yeah, I think knowing what's best for you is the important thing, especially when, if you're a creator and you're sharing your life online, that comes with a lot of comments and everyone has an opinion and they're basing their opinion on, I don't know, a 15-minute video, but you're the only person who knows what your life is like 24/7. So just do what's best for you. And the people who had negative comments, they probably didn't stick around, but the people who
more did, like,
you're still here. So
I love that. I love that you still felt the discernment within you, which led to the video that I watched. And I was like, oh, because it's everything. Like, I have to interview her, because there was this blossoming where you put the video out where you were like, you know what? I've decided I'm no longer going to look for a job. And I was like, yes, look at her making a decision, right? Like, I was so proud, because it's a scary thing to do. But also, I feel like I watched you learn what it is that you actually wanted. And to hear your story and say that, like, you were creative before and then you got into corporate. And of course, our creativity gets stifled by being very logical and doing the things that we're supposed to do. And I just felt like there was a full circle moment in that video when you were like, yeah, I've made the decision. I'm not doing this anymore. So What led up to that? Like, how did you feel convicted in your yes, I'm choosing day?
Yeah. So as that year went by, as 2025 went by, like by the last part of the year, quarter four, I was just like, why has this not happened yet? Like, I publicly sharing like my journey. I went to a conference. I was featured on CNBC. Like, I just felt like after certain bigger things happen, like, I just knew that it was going to happen, and it didn't. I still didn't get a job. And there were two jobs that I was really interested in, and I thought that I was like a shoo-in for those jobs. And I'm like pretty spiritual, and I was talking to God about it, and I was like, God, if I do not get like a view or the if I don't even get an interview, I'll just take it as a sign that you don't want me to go back to corporate America. And one job, it took them a week to say no, that they were not interested in me. And then the other one, it took them like 2 months. So So does this mean that you don't want me to
work? Ask a question, but give me another one.
I'm like, huh, well, this is a big deal. Like, what am I going to do if I don't get back to corporate America? And I guess, like, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this entire year I have been okay, like, financially. Like, even if it didn't feel like it, every bill got paid. And, like, I was still doing everything that I need to do. I was still able to do, like, we talked about, like, these moments of fun and joy. And I was like, I've been able to like support myself without even trying to like thrive while doing it. I was just trying to survive and I really do it. And I just kept thinking like, what if I really like really went for it and just try to survive, but try to thrive. Like if I had certain amounts of money coming in like every month and I tried to do even more things with content. So I thought about it, I prayed about it, and I was like, oh, also I should mention, I still had savings. So I hadn't touched much of my savings during that year because content creation kept growing. So I said, like, I have a certain amount of runway, like I should be okay for an extended amount of time. And if things fall off, if content creation falls off, I still have the savings and hopefully corporate America will take me back at a later date.
Right.
But I realized that like I was in this really like unique bubble where like in a normal job market, I should be able to get a job. But what was happening on the YouTube channel and the growth that I had, like, there's no guarantee that that is going to happen again. Right. So I just decided to go all in and bet on myself.
I love it. I love it. And how do you think the view of yourself has changed, or like how you value yourself and your worth has changed over this year?
How to answer that? It's definitely like how I view myself has gone up. I'm really like proud of myself, even though that sounds corny to say.
No, I'm woman. Proud of you too. Shoot.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really proud of myself because like I didn't think that kind of like what we were saying before, like the goal of the YouTube channel, like it was never a goal for me to do it like full time. I just wanted it as like a side hustle type thing. So the fact that I am doing it full time and I feel comfortable enough to intentionally do it full time now, like I'm really proud of myself. And as scared as I was last year, the fact that I was able to make things work and just keep trying new things and putting myself out there. I'm also like a quiet person, so I feel like I've grown a lot in that way this year, doing things like this. Even I didn't see myself like a couple years ago doing stuff like this. So yeah, there's been a lot of growth. And even though it was hard and I would not want to relive 2025, certain way, I'm glad that it happened if I was going to end up here. So
yeah. And I love that you have like, as we do when we are in business, we just like throw ourselves into the resources and like gravitating to all the things. And you recently did something that is like very aligned. So you have two books that are like your holy grails. And I was like, look at her. So your first book is We Should All Be Millionaires, which is so in alignment because when I first quit my job, I was listening to Rachel's podcast.
Yeah.
She had the club. And I was like, let me just try it. I don't know. So I was in her club for a year. And it's where I have met some of like my best business besties ever. So I was like, okay. So I was around to get like the training from her books. And I was there when her book came out. So I was like, oh, my God. And then 10 times is easier than 2 times. I was introduced to Dan Sullivan through a podcast, but it was Who Not How. So I read Who Not How, The Gap and the Gain, and then I landed on 10 times is easier than 2 times. And I was like, okay, so I have to be doing something right because she lived by these books. And so through that, you just did the 10K in 10 days, which I was very, very, I keep saying I was proud, but like, I was just like, look at her. Because when I tried to do that, when she first rolled that out, I felt so defeated. And I think it was just like the lack of believing that I could do that. So to watch you do something that I've done multiple times and I just like didn't have the gusto within myself to do it. And not only did you do it, like you surpassed it. And you talked about how the way that you view your ability to do things changed because you were like, there was a mission behind this, which is pretty similar to your YouTube channel over the year, which was, I need to be able to pay my bills. There's a mission behind this. Mm-hmm. And then you were doing that because you wanted to pay the credit card off. And then after both of those things, the pattern is, I wasn't even really trying. Like I was doing it because I had to. What would happen if I didn't have to? And I just like really went in. So from that, what was like your thought process when you did it? Like, I know I watched the video, but the listeners didn't watch the video. So like what came over you when you were watching the numbers just go up and go up and go up and you realize, oh, I'm about to pay this credit card off in like 30 days.
Yes, it was crazy because I'm watching my account and I'm seeing like the deposits hit and everything. And I think it was close to 10 days and I had generated like around 13,000. And if you haven't seen the video, my credit card was 15,400 something that I needed to pay off in 42 days. So I realized that like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. And so I realized that I needed to increase the goal and I increased it to like 22,000. I don't know if I should spoil what happened, but you should go watch you need to see the final number. But yeah, it really changed like how I thought about myself and what I thought was possible. And it also showed me that a lot of times I already have like the resources and skills mm-hmm. that I need. I just wasn't using them correctly. Cause I talked about it in that video saying that like I came up with this plan, this mission to do it in these 42 days, but I hadn't done it in the 42 days prior to that. I was not able to do it back then if I was able to do it now. And the difference was I didn't try. Like I wasn't mm-hmm. trying to make $15,000. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to hit like, okay, mortgage covered, bills. Mm-hmm. So just the idea of trying for something like greater allowed me to do it. And so, yeah, it's changed how I think about things and it's changing like my goals for the future and what I want for myself because I have student loans. I have a mortgage that I would like to refinance and get that down. So there's a lot of things that I want to do. And it showed me that like, I've been thinking smaller than I need mm-hmm. to. And I need to be thinking big about right. what I want.
So how is it felt to be a bit more popular throughout this process? Cause like you're processing life but you're processing life in front of people. And while we don't get like the whole scope of it, I think you do a really good job of being like super vulnerable. I think anyone that shows their numbers, hats off to you, right? Like that's a really vulnerable part of you. I always say sex and money are two things that are just like make people really uncomfortable, and you pretty much are naked in front of people. So how has it been to like grow, evolve, and become, would you call yourself an influencer, or you just call yourself a content creator? Like what, how do you label yourself now?
I guess I call myself a content creator. It feels weird to think of myself as an influencer. So I don't know what other people call me, but I don't think of myself as an influencer. But as I've like grown, sometimes it doesn't click in my head that like as the subscriber count goes up, that like, oh, those are real people. And like these are real people watching, because I guess I still think of myself as like a smaller creator. And like, yeah, so it's something that I guess I need to work on to realize that, yeah, these are real people watching, because I have like 74,000 right now on YouTube, and then the other platforms are growing too. So, and also people have like seen me out in real life before, so that's starting to happen more. And it always throws me off because I'm like, I'm thinking like we went to school together or something. And then they say like, oh, I watch your YouTube channel. And I'm like, oh, so it is something that I guess I'll have to get used to as I keep growing.
Yeah, because you said that you were quiet and you keep to yourself. So I can imagine you're like, am I supposed to know who you are? Like.
But thank you. Have we met before?
Do you feel like it's a bit humbling to hear people's stories and hear how proud people are and how long they've been following you and that they've been taking your tips and your tricks and this is how it's growing their life and transforming them?
Yes, it's always surprising to me, especially like you said that you've been watching since the layoff video. Like it always surprises me when people say that. Often, like, I don't know what to say in return to it. So I just say thank you. But yeah, it makes me feel good that with me sharing, like, what's been going on in my life, it's been, like, helping other people. Or, like, the video where I paid off the credit card debt, there were a lot of comments that said that it inspired other people to pay off their debt quicker. So it always feels good to hear things like that. But at the same time, it kind of catches me off guard because I'm like, oh, I'm just me. I'm just doing.
I know. I understand. You know, when I do stuff, I always think, even with this podcast, right? I'm like, nobody's listening. And then I'll get emails and I'm like, oh, are you talking to me? Like, always assume. And people are like, no, like you have an authority. And I'm like, really? I go to work and I, you know, I just do this. Like, I don't ever think it, but like you get to like see the numbers go up and then you've started going live. And so people are talking to you and it's just like, yeah, you're kind of becoming that girl, you know?
That's new.
Yeah. I love that. So I started off by asking you, who were you then? If you were to kind of fast forward to now, who are you now?
Now I am a content creator. Proud to say that. A full-time content creator who is passionate about sharing my journey and different tips online. And someone who is still kind of figuring things out as I go along. But I feel very happy in life, even if like it can be stressful figuring things out and running the YouTube channel and things like that. But it's a happy type of, I said stress, but I guess I don't want to say stress. I'm just trying to figure out like the right way to do things and the right then processes for everything. But it's like a puzzle that I'm trying to solve, but it's a fun puzzle to solve. So I'm a lot happier in life. I think I'm happier than before I got laid off, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does it feel to say that and to acknowledge, like, I am happier now than when I did all the things I was supposed to do?
It feels good because it's an unexpected type of happiness that I wouldn't have picked this for me. Like, I wouldn't have picked to get laid off, and I wouldn't have chosen to go through 2025. I would have, you know, I had like a six-figure job. I was comfortable. I would have, if someone had asked me, I would have chosen to stay where I was at in my comfortable, like, little bubble. But I'm glad that the bubble popped, I guess.
It was necessary.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't think, I always feel like being a business owner, working for yourself, makes you develop in a way that you probably never would have developed if you just stuck to the day-to-day 9-to-5. It's almost like you have to personally develop 10 times faster than everybody else to be able to do all the things you're doing. So there's no way you would have gotten to know her, who you are now, without that happening.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's a lot of self-growth and, like, development that's been happening because I'm way stronger than I thought I was. I'm able to, like, solve problems quicker than I thought that I could. I'm more, like, resilient. So, yeah, it's been a process getting to this version of me, but I'm happy with the end result. And I guess not end result, because there's always going to be more growth. But yeah, I'm liking the journey that I'm on.
I love it. I love it. So I know one of your big goals is 100,000. You want the plaque.
And I want the
plaque. What are some more, like, overarching big hairy dreams that you've developed as you've seen what you're capable of doing?
Ooh, yeah. I want the same thing on Instagram as well. I don't talk about that as much, but I want K on Instagram. I'm at 23,000 right now. There's other things. I think I would love to do my own podcast one day. So I don't think I want to start it this year, but that's something that I'm thinking about for next year. I love reading, so maybe, like, a book one day. Those are things that I'm just thinking about and imagining. But there's a lot of things that I want to do, but I'm just trying to do, like, one of them at a time and try to, I guess, space things out.
Yeah, and celebrate, right? Because being high achievers and doing the things, it's always like, what's next? And, like, years will go by and people are like, do you realize what you've done?
Yes.
Think about, like, and then they list it off and then you're like, I have done some things. I should probably celebrate that. So I think your plan to space it out allows you to revel in it and celebrate it and let people celebrate you and then transition softly into the next thing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because I didn't even celebrate, like, 50K on YouTube. It was cool when it happened. I think I made, like, a post about it, but I didn't do anything, like, special in my life for it, because I was still focused on, you know, like, just, I was in survival mode at the time. But I definitely think it's important to kind of sit and clap for yourself for these, like, milestones, because it is a big deal. Those are, like, content creator, like, milestones, but I'm sure, like, every industry has its own mile that you're trying to reach. And yeah, I think it's good to kind of, like, sit in that for a second and then kind of prep for the next big thing.
Yeah. So for the listener who's like, Simone, I don't have my job. They laid me off. I cannot find a job. I'm in survival mode. I don't know where to go from here. What do you say to her?
One thing, it may be, like, hard to hear this because you are in survival mode, but at least for me, that being laid off was, like, the only break I've ever had from working. Mm-hmm. Like, I had my first job when I was in high school. I had jobs when I was in college, and I've worked ever since. So I had other people telling me, like, this is unemployment, it won't last for forever. So kind of like enjoy it while you can. But it's really hard to do that when you're in the middle of it. But if you can, or like I'd suggest trying to find ways to kind of enjoy, if you can, the unemployment, but not just enjoy it and like enjoy the free time, but also use that free time to really think, do you want this again? Like whatever you're laid off from, do you want to go back because of the money and benefits, that type of thing? Or do you want to go back because it's something that you're truly passionate about? Because it took me a long time to realize it, but I realized I wanted the security again. I wanted the benefits, the health insurance, that type of thing. But I was more passionate about being a content creator. So it may be like a little, like a blessing that this happened if it allows you to have enough time to sit and think, what do I actually want? Because this could be your chance to go after something different.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If this conversation sparked something in you and you're ready to take action, don't let that inspiration fade by Monday morning. Visit www.jrewellness.com/reset and start your free 7-day self-care reset today. Because the woman who just listens and the woman who actually takes action, they live completely different lives. Talk to you next week. Bye.